Hello, friend. This is Taylor with an exciting and important announcement before this episode begins. For the past few years, I've gotten lots of requests from men in my courses for an in-person workshop or retreat. And I'm happy to say that this year it's finally happening in the beautiful mountains just outside of Asheville on July 11th through the 14th. And it includes a 9-week online men's group and training that starts 3 weeks before the retreat to help us integrate the work we're going to be doing together into our regular everyday lives. The program is called Liberate Your Life Force, and it's for any man who wants to feel truly vital and alive and liberated in his life on a daily basis in things like sex, relationships, in your family, in your business, and with your mission and purpose in life. Yes, let's take a breath to that. I am co-facilitating this program with my good friend Thomas Duchin, and we've created this program based on our years of working with hundreds of men and figuring out some of the most effective and powerful ways to help us break through the most common ways men get blocked in life, with things like sexual shame, emotional closure and numbness, being the lone wolf, being the nice guy, difficulty receiving, and so many more ways that we hold ourselves back. The good news is we can actually work through these things and come out way stronger on the other side, especially when supported by a group of men and in-person processes that challenge you to become your best self. If this is something that sounds good to you, you can go to my website and click the retreat menu option to learn more. And know that enrollment is first come, first serve by application only, and it's limited to just 18 men, so we can have a truly powerful and tight-knit group. It's going to be profound, it's going to be fun, it's going to be challenging, and I'm so excited to share it with you and the group of men who have already signed up. So if you're interested, again, check out my website. And with all that being said, let's get into today's episode.
That's what you want, is to uniquely find that dynamic combination for you lifestyle-wise that's going to ensure that you don't walk the path of sacrificing your energy now in order to fulfill your day and animate your day.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Eros Rising podcast, a podcast for men all about sex, where we'll combine real, authentic, down-to-earth conversations about sex with some pretty wild personal stories and practical how-to episodes as well to help you have the most amazing sex life you can possibly have. My name is Taylor, and I'll be your host on this journey. And in each episode, it's my goal to give you practical, actionable things that you can start doing today to improve your sex life and to improve your entire life. So let's begin today's episode by taking a deep breath in together through the nose. And exhale with an audible sigh. Thank you, friend, for being here. And let's begin today's episode. Mason Taylor, welcome to the show. Good to be here with you on a podcast again. I've been on your podcast a couple times and happy to have you here on this one.
Yeah, it's like, I know we get to back and forth chat sometimes on Instagram, but this is when we actually get to hang out. So I'm glad you've created an arena for us to have a hang as well. I always learn a lot and have great chats with you. I really enjoy it.
Same. Me too. And man, I was bummed. So if you're listening right now, originally we planned to record a while ago, and right when we were going to do that, massive flooding came through the part of the world that you live in. And that was crazy, man. I'm happy that your home and your factory is mostly all right, sounded like, but holy shit, that seemed pretty intense.
Yeah, I feel very, very blessed. Just a few, like, we're in the, we're in the Byron Bay area. We're in Mullumbimby here. And
yeah,
you know, it's recently built, like where the factory is, and it's just, you know, it's up really nice and high. So you're always, you know, like everyone was just like, well, the floodwaters have never, you know, we live in a region called, the Northern Rivers. It gets wet, but raging like river down this street of this industrial area, just unprecedented. Man. Just so many people decimated from that. And it's interesting because one of the key terms that has come up about Byron Bay, and there's a group called Byron Resilient Byron, and that word resilience really kind of really emerged as a key, you know, people might relate to it as a value. You know, when I'm talking about someone's values or my company values, I prefer to use the term virtues, just as, you know, in Taoist philosophy, which we'll talk a little bit about, and it's a bit of a lighthouse for me in my life and business. Virtuousness arises when there is a harmonious flow through an organ system, and it's almost, and it is seen as a personality emerging from a particular organ or element, which gives note that an element is in full nourishment and flight and in harmony with the other organ systems, which is can be taken literally or can be, you know, just, you know, like can be seen as like, cool, that's a cool archetypical story that gets me closer to relating to the reality of my body and what is healthy. So the virtue that emerged from the Byron Bay community that everyone was really proud of was resilience. And it's really closely connected to everything that you do, which I like talking to you about, you know, all the words, sexual essence, libido, sexual expression, sexual health, and then everything else that comes with it. That's just a starting point. But it's such a starting point in Taoism. And there's so many different words for that vigor, that potency, that potential. Yeah. And on the other side of it is resilience. And that essence that we're talking about exploring and then cultivating and using, you know, maybe I'm sure we've talked about it a lot. You'd be in places where people overly identify with that sexual energy and maybe make it their, you know, they don't go anywhere else. They're like, that's just me now. And okay, all well and good. Generally, it leads to really elaborate conversations and it doesn't have to rule your life. But as a starting point, when talking about health, and having that association that your capacity to be resilient through life from the lens of Taoism and the lens of reality and what you can see in the patterns of what leads to a long, healthy life, that sexual energy or what we can explore, that Jing essence, the foundations, your roots being deep, you not going beyond capacity, you having potential in you so you can ride through the storms of life and come through the other end with capacity to integrate. That's the starting point, that sexual essence, and that's resilience. And so that's what I'm really proud of this community coming through. Boom. That people hit hard, but bam, resilient Byron.
Yeah, and that's Australia for anybody listening who doesn't know where Byron Bay is. Yeah. So right now we're literally on other sides of the world and I'm in Asheville, North Carolina on the east coast of the United States. And oh man, that topic of resilience, it's huge and it's going to segue in perfectly to some of the things I want to talk with you about today. But first I want to ask you a question I like to ask everybody who comes on here, and it's just an icebreaker question. Simply, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self something about sex that you wish you would have known, what would you have told yourself?
It's like straight away really emotional. I feel like I'm really getting some with my therapist. I've been through all my cathartic processes in my youth, and I'm kind of going through a long-term just integration process with my therapist at the moment. And I've just had some really good progress viscerally back into my childhood at particular points, and I'm just like, so that conversation, I could be like, oh yeah, no, interesting question. I'm like, oh no, I'm there, I'm living it. It's harrowing for me sometimes. Look, the crippling comparison to, say, what you perceive in pornography, it would be just like just creating like a something just to create a linchpin, whatever the, I don't know what the wording is, but just a little bit of a conversation to set me off down a trajectory that wasn't just dominated by going, well, I kind of know logically that porn isn't the way that it is, or, you know, what it is in the mag, but like, I just, that's it. I'm locked in and set. Like, that's what I need to be, and that's how long I need to last, and that's, you know, all that kind of stuff, which I just try and set that trajectory a little bit into more reality and something that had, you know, self-agency in the way I relate to my sexuality rather than comparison.
Beautiful. Oh man, porn, it's
so good, eh? I just love what it brings to society, and I just love the entrepreneurial spirit in the pornography community.
Yeah. Good Lord. It's some shockingly high statistic of the quantity of websites out of all websites that are porn, or maybe it's web traffic or something like that. Yeah, man, it messed with me too. And it's interesting. Tomorrow I have an interview with a guy named Eric Everhard, who's a super well-known, apparently, porn star. And we're specifically going to talk about the reality of sex versus what's portrayed in porn and what's happening behind the scenes. And that's going to be, real good. So, but that'll be tomorrow's interview. Today we can talk about Taoist herbs and libido and all this good stuff. And I want to, just before we get into that, ask, like, what's the context? Who are you? You know, you're in Australia. How does that relate to people around the world? How does that relate to us in the United States? I mean, I could speak on it, but I'd rather you speak on it. I have some of your herbs in my kitchen that I drank this morning, and how'd you get to where you are?
Yeah, so I've somehow, despite my my resistance and desires to just be a Peter Pan traveling shaman man, I've somehow still, after starting a business 11 years ago on a hunch, and my mum kind of pushing me in that direction of being like, well, you're interested in detox and herbs and all this kind of stuff, why don't you just start an online store? And so I did, which was Superfeast, which just the other day turned 11. There's obviously a backstory there of me trying to figure out what I'm doing in life and going through university and going through college and realizing that, like, institution does not work for me, and that institutional kind of thinking does not work for me, and working within any kind of cookie cutter structure, whether it be in business or life, doesn't really work for me. And so I just went and stumbled my way through starting and running a business. It was, it's been a trip. It's been, I've learned a lot. It's definitely, people are amazed that I still have a business hearing the things that I don't have in place. But the business started from some very unique intentions, which are really nice and naive. And I'm really proud that my naivety has gotten more and more colorful, and what I said I wanted to do with the company naively is still what I'm saying, and got my team of 30 plus doing today, just with more capacity to measure it. So I, through my audacious wantings to be, say, like, when I've discovered medicinal mushrooms and the Taoist tonic herbal philosophy that they emerge from, ancient Chinese herbalism, the pursuit of cultivating one's own, in many ways, uniqueness, capacity to be your, cultivate your own relationship with reality and yourself, becoming an elder, having foundations so you don't get sick, you don't degenerate, so on and so forth, and a multitude of levels, and develop yourself so when you're older, you're not an asshole and you're an awesome person who has wisdom and you've integrated all life lessons so that you're not projecting your shit and going, back in my day, it used to be like this, and you young kid, you don't get it, and, and making it everyone else's problem. Like, we have a deficiency of that, that elderhood in society, and I recognize it. And as a young, like, little scallywag, that I was like, I'm gonna create elders, and very naive. And now I speak to a lot of elders, and I'm humbly walking the path to, reflecting as I go along, attempting to understand what I mean by that, but nonetheless sticking the course. So that intention I had to do that, and I wanted to. At that, I was very reactive towards the amount of degeneration and coming to terms with, say, the excessiveness of particular systems and structures in the world. And I've got especially when I was young, there was such a power in me, and was, could feel it going towards raging against this institution. Let's say an example of, like, you having a conversation to integrate clarity around what the porn industry actually is, takes away the villainization. It's very easy just to, like, throw stones at the porn industry rather than going, look, it exists for a reason. You're not going to stop it. You can't stop life. Let's just bring nuance and color to the conversation and hopefully, and then work the way back so that, you know, young people and older people can either heal their wounds or get started with a little bit more clarity and have access to information like what I would have wanted rather than just falling and being the low hanging fruit that porn just picks off. But I also was able to integrate that and it made me who I am. And it led me down towards this, I wanted to eliminate degenerative disease to a particular extent. And when I started, I was like against the pharmaceuticals and it really isn't a nice way to set your business up. And I could feel that. So then when I started, this is where if I was just to take the mushrooms and look at what they can do immunologically for people and the level of sovereignty that they can deliver to an immune system and the power when they're taken daily, I could really get on a high horse and ride in and, to, you know, and go for life in terms of the prevention that I'm for helping people, facilitating people, you know, cultivate within themselves and get for themselves. And I'm taking away from that medical system. I could really make it an opposition based way of being raging against the machine. And I don't feel like that because I have that intention of developing my Shen or, you know, moving towards something that is, has a skerrick of wisdom. I made it slippery enough that I can't just do mushrooms. And so I needed to ensure that I go back to the lineage in which they were embedded from rather than just doing the Western thing and taking a scalpel and be like, yoink, I'll take those adaptogens. Thank you. They're hectic, everybody, and awesome. No, they, like for me, the reverence, one of my virtues of my company, the values, is reverence. When we are in harmony and working well as a company, naturally what rises is a reverence for where the herbs came from, the land, the system, the tradition. And so all of those things were coming kind of together in my unique scallywag stage of business, and especially 10 years ago, I kind of that combination of intentions of what I wanted to create as well as abundance for my business and my team, that has spat me further and further towards teaching and offering this Taoist herbal system with behind it an awareness of what I think is for me and for a lot of and for my community the most like let's call open sourced. It's not like the Indigenous Australian philosophy here that isn't being freely offered to the world and hasn't been documented. It's like there's a lot of trauma there. There's a lot of there's not even a treaty with Indigenous. Yeah, so that's not something to take and offer out to the world. Taoist, you know, same with Ayurveda. Taoism has a system there that's offered open. I can work with the farmers who are holding the lineage as well. There isn't an energy of me taking. And so that was important for me. So there it is. It's got terminology that is somewhat esoteric, but it helps people ease out of the anatomical scalpel, chop the body into little parts and has you becoming aware of very real aspects of your body, which are more of a combination of functions and systems, so that you can get closer to your own sovereign, unique perception of what's real and what a progressional path is towards the cultivation of longevity. And so that is what started me. That's what's in my head all the time. This is why I like podcasts and talking to you. This shit's fucking going through my head all the time and then trying to ground it into a business, which is, you know, in Australia where, you know, we're, we're getting into a good medium-sized business and I'm not scaling too fast. And, you know, I'm trying to set up systems so that we're a scalable business that keeps everyone safe and I can, you know, ensure the abundance for my team while staying true to an essence, not having investors come in. So this craziness in my head can continue to be slowly manifested and we can stay true to the, you know, the drivers that we had back in the day. And so we launched in America, had our first successful year operating in America, which we're really, it's been really cool and special. So that's my background. And that's where I continue to somehow be a CEO still, and I'm enjoying it and getting better at it. And that leads me here. And then I get to, thankfully, because I've got such a beautiful team, I still get to come out and pop out the top and have these conversations where I get to learn more about why I'm doing this.
Awesome. Awesome. And when you say America, I'm assuming you mean just United States.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, United States. And yeah, and so
Canada, right? I think Canada's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And so right before we were about to do this interview for the first time, we were just coming off of a month where Superfeast was focusing a lot on sex and libido. Yeah. And so it sounds like you maybe originally started with a focus on medicinal mushrooms and that sort of thing. And then maybe you're shifting more, or at least opening up other branches into sexual health, sexual potency, that sort of a thing.
Well, because I started from the lens of Taoist herbalism, what was hot at the time were the mushrooms, and they continued to be really hot. So, and that wave keeps on breaking bigger and bigger and bigger in the market, because it's probably one of the number one things that people are deficient in is ability to feel maybe I can protect myself from invasion from shit. And that's what people are scared of most. So they're the mushrooms continue to explode, but that's what everyone associated with. You know, you're the mushroom man, you know, like, and do you know the mushroom man? Like, that was literally what it was. But I had mushrooms and Jing herbs as the first thing that I brought to the table, because they're the starting point and continue to be the starting point. The Jing herbs, we can get into Jing, but that's, you know, in Taoism and this Taoist herbalism, what we are looking to do is ensure that the transformation of yin and yang, qi and yin and yang expressions is working smoothly. That's all. And then we hone in on the five organ systems. There's a little bit more of like, okay, the qi is uniquely the character of wood as it moves through the liver system. So that's the liver wood qi. That moves smoothly over into that heart fire. If that yin yang wuxing, that's called, if there's harmony and flow, because we're living in alignment with our highest purpose and with the reality of just not flogging yourself, so you're walking on exhausted eggshells all the time, there's a harmony. What occurs then is you enter the realms of protecting the treasures of your body. So these are three, if we hone in on particular energies in various densities, densest being Jing down the bottom, and a little bit more dancey and moving is Qi, and then our Shen. It's a very broad Taoist going, look, to make it easy, these are the three things that are really precious to you. And if you can just not leak them, if you can just protect these, then you have a nice, long and healthy life. And then, you know, you can, whatever, there's no spiritual belief or anything, you can just be rad. Maybe it's just being a rad person that doesn't have to deal with heaps of degeneration. The foundation is Jing, which, you know, let's like, there's so much to go into with Jing and,
well, maybe we can start just looking start at with like a look at the context, right? Like, if we're looking at the society at large, there's a big Jing deficiency, you know? And like, I would say that. I'd like to hear what you would have to say that about that. But I think like a big epidemic of exhaustion almost, right? And go, go, go. We got social media. We've got long days of working. We've got excess screen time. We've got people not sleeping enough. We've got like stress out of the roof constantly. And all that contributes to a context where people aren't thriving.
We're in the meaty part where the bell curve is almost becoming aware of that in a way, if we're going to be not in a right or wrong morality side of things, but let's just to pretend, you know, we're sitting there learning lessons from Taoist model. It's like, you are not allowed to live that way. Your life is precious. The reason you are here is precious. And I want to see that you have the resilience and the essence, you know, a kind of sometimes they call it crassly, like, you know, the money in the bank, it's superannuation here. What's it, 401k in America? Is that what it is? Like, you want to make sure you're not getting to the end of your capacity to generate, you know, income for yourself, which, you know, maybe not our reality, because we actually work on asset portfolios, which is making sure if you put into like, in a way that you set yourself up with assets that are generating energy and creating cash flow so the qi runs smooth and runs on itself. That's the same as generating a lifestyle and a way of living in harmony where what you do naturally gives you such an abundance of energy that you don't need to be borrowing from your savings in order to live day to day. You can just live off your qi. And it's getting to that point where the bulk of the world is starting to almost clue into that you know, not right or wrong and making you bad if you go through this period. But this is long-term not acceptable, and it's not acceptable right. for you to do to your lover or to yourself or your children. You have responsibilities, and you have mm-hmm. you have a responsibility to the intricate multitude of energies and aspects of yourself as well. And we're going to have to, you know, you may, you know, whatever that is that's sending you into critical drive around, you know, smashing coffees in order to function, the, you know, that Red Bull culture, that not having the discipline mm-hmm. to come back to basic lifestyle principles with a decades long, you know, look at it, not just like
totally.
Shit, I'm not going to the gym. That's really awful. I'm not doing my meditation, then my breath work, and then my, you know, calisthenics. And then, you know, we're not talking about that minutely. If you look over the decades, Jing energy can be expressed in many ways. Your ability to get up, actually get up in the morning smoothly and get into the day at a time that's appropriate when the yang is rising at that crack of dawn. The yang is rising, so to be able to rise up with the sun and do that with grace. Again, these things aren't, I'm going to say everything, I'm not trying to create an idealistic outcome of where you need to be, because the whole point totally. Of this is that you are engaged with life and you are giving yourself challenges. It's just don't lose sight of what I'm talking about too much. Otherwise, you'll lose your way in the forest and you'll start to leak Jing. You have capacity for spontaneous lust, spontaneous capacity to express yourself and yearn sexual connection. You have the capacity to get wet. You have the capacity to get hard. You have nice, strong knees. You have nice, flexible, strong lower back and hips. Mm-hmm. Your bones aren't degenerating. Your hearing is acute. You see that you're on a trajectory where your mental acuity is on a at least a neutral plateau, you know, and not degenerating. And what I want to put a caveat there is like, you know, maybe remembering names isn't your strength. I'm not talking about you having every aspect of mental acuity, but what's your superhero? Making sure that your ability to think laterally, is maybe, or your ability to take, if your superhero is to take massive, obscure aspects of philosophy and drive them in like in a real practical way into your life. If you know that's good, you know, that's a link. You know, your capacity to work mentally like that at full speed is linked to your Jing, which is your physical essence. It is your potential. It is everything that's sitting there simmering under the edge that we can then start taking those wise waters and that capacity for you to do great things and have endurance in life to do them. And then we start putting movement to those waters, those kidney waters, and turning it into vapor. And then bang, that goes off. And with a flurry of chi, that becomes you then animated. You take that potential and then it gets animated as your chi. That's Jing energy. It's so simple. Everyone, you need to learn that freedom is in the discipline. There are, you know, people get stuck here. You can see how many Instagram influencers are like, oh my God, I just made these simple lifestyle changes and now I'm feeling really amazing and great. And they're like, yay me. Which is great, you know, yes, you're doing breath work and you stop boozing and, you know, maybe you're eating a diet that's, you know, not coming off a factory chemical line. Great. But that is then that's what you want, is to uniquely find that dynamic combination for you lifestyle wise that's going to ensure that you don't walk the path of sacrificing your energy now, in order to fulfill your day and animate your day. You want to make sure that the way that you are harmoniously living with your environment and with the elements is within your capacity. Yeah. These people that stop then and go, I found the secret, just live healthy and follow my seven principles, they should fucking be moving on and taking on more challenging endeavors. Then how do you cultivate your chi in ways? Now use that energy and that foundation to go and take some extreme integration processes so you can develop your Shen and become an interesting person and not just another cookie cutter influencer on Instagram. And then, yeah, show your work. These are those lifestyle principles, but go on, like, keep going. Don't then just make that your fucking identity. Ironically, when you get, when you stop and go, oh my God, I found, you know, this is my clique, this is my crew. This is, we talk about ideology a lot. And I bring it up a lot because yes, in this community, everyone gets down to the, you know, to being healthy with their lifestyle. But if you don't keep on moving and doing more interesting things and challenging yourselves, you're not respecting the willing capacity to go and engage with life that emerges from the kidneys and from you having that jing. You stop because it's safe and you externally identify because you're scared of going into the deep, dark, you know, like hero's journey, dark night of the soul and learning who you really are and being a unique individual at 80, not just another fucking talking parrot, you know, doing the same old rote things that everyone else is saying. No, you go find your own mannerisms. That ability for people to recognize that I'm starting to bore myself and going, it means maybe I've stayed a little bit too long in this same place. That is a sure sign. Maybe you're not excessively leaking jing, but it's almost worse because then you have the potential and you're not using it. You need to move on and alchemize and transform that energy and go on your, you know, start, keep on walking, drop it. Stop hanging on to that thing. It's not, you don't need it. You don't need that, the terminology or that wording or that diet or that, you know, use it for a little bit, integrate what's useful, and then please move on because that's going to make you sexually interesting as well to yourself. And, you know, that's, I think that's something I'm sure you see. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, use the system, but then engage with yourself.
For sure. Yeah. Do more than just sleep well and eat good foods and work out.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And so what are some, so, okay. So baseline jing, the jing, qi, and shen, you could say baseline jing. What are some ways that guys lose their jing? I guess being stagnant in their life is one. I think of ejaculating too often.
Yeah. What are some one in Taoism? Yeah.
Yeah. Can you speak to that?
I mean, I'm like, it's the basic, there's not much more than like, if we just look at it practically, you know, it's a, it's a precious substance. It's, if you're not bringing an extreme level of intention to the way you are utilizing the substance, anything excessively being created and then just like thrown away is, without conscientiousness. I don't, you know, we've talked a lot about the fact that I don't like the, you know, and I know you, like we've had fun conversations about, you know, maybe I don't want to go down the route of like people being able to be like so proud that they never waste, you know, they never waste an ejaculation. I think it's there to be used and experimented with and be like, you know, for people to engage with, like, how do they want to use their cum and their ejaculations, but mindlessly not ejaculating or mindlessly ejaculating, of course, excessively is going to lead to you draining your jing.
Totally. If you want to go deeply down into that semen retention rabbit hole, you can go listen to the other two podcasts that we recorded. I'll link to those in the show notes. Those are awesome. I think we pretty adequately cover that topic there in depth. In terms of like, another big thing that I think really relates to what you're talking about, this feeling of, there can be a feeling of stagnation if you're doing the breath work, if you're exercising, eating healthy. But prior to that, there can a lot of times be this feeling of burnout for a lot of guys and this feeling of depletion because they're working, they're not sleeping so much. And then a lot of guys, at least in my age bracket now, mid 30s, you know, I'm hearing more and more guys who are just like, well, you know, I'm tired and I don't feel up to having sex, so I'm just going to turn to Viagra, you know, or I'm going to get a prescription for something and then that'll fix my problem. And then I can keep going, sleeping 5 hours a night. And then when I'm ready to have sex, I'll just pop one of those. Boom. I'll solve that problem and go on to the next thing.
Yeah. You guys have
got
pop it culture.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I assume that's more places than just the United States, but maybe that's just us here.
No, I mean, like, I mean, just, I think Viagra, like I'm always amazed at how widespread Viagra use is. It hasn't really permeated our culture. There's a lot of erectile dysfunction, like in America as well, but there's a lot of like depression associated with erectile dysfunction here in Australia. It's a pretty common theme. Like when you go and look at like old, you know, like movies, like real rough and tumble Aussie movies in the 90s, mm-hmm. and you're looking at that pub culture, you know, men smashing nothing but hops in beer. That's their only herbal practice, is the most estrogenic herb. Getting mm-hmm. that beer gut and putting on the bravado, fucking aggression. There's quite often in those movies when it gets vulnerable or plays and things like that, there's an undertone or admittance around premature ejaculation or not being able to get it up. It's really funny how like it's like how self-aware the Australian culture is, and I'm sure American culture in its own way are of that.
Yeah. So if I'm one of those guys who's struggling with erectile dysfunction, yeah. there's a bunch of different causes, but I'm thinking there's a lot of guys out there looking for herbs or supplements or how to deal with this naturally, right? Mm. Maybe people don't want to take Viagra. Could you just take half a bottle of ashwagandha and be fine? Does it work like that?
Sometimes. Take half a It's like when you have like, I'm sure, you know, what's the experience if you're having like an extreme meditation and someone, you know, they see, you know, like they see Nirvana or in a plant medicine ceremony and, you know, someone sees that like that fully integrated part of themselves. And it's like, as long as you can relate to the fact that you are maybe seeing something so you know what's the potential is, and now you've got to do the hard work to develop a lifestyle that leads you there to maybe cultivating yourself and not thinking, you know, I'm just going to be able to rely on ashwagandha. It's like, it's just a good tool and that will help you in your cultivation journey. Well, I'll finish at the markets. I brought up that I had jing and mushrooms as the thing that I brought in. And it's funny you're mm-hmm. talking about this. You're reminding me that, you know, and I did start from libido. I would excessively be known as the guy that would shoot off about the fact that, you know, guys, if you know, your libido is like kind of like a barometer of where your foundation's at. And so I wouldn't just outright ask people. I'd just talk very loudly about it. And I'd have a lot of guys who were getting, you know, who were coming in on their own volition, or guys who are just walking past sometimes or been dragged in by their girlfriends going, no, listen to Mason. And he has like, no, seriously, he's cool. He's not one of those like health guys. You know, I was like a lot of those. And I would just kind of be like, look, I've for me, it really hit when I didn't have potential for the kind of potential for erections. When I was in my early 20s, I'd kind of talk about my own experience and be like, you know, I just couldn't understand why I didn't have like that real, you know, capacity for desire and passion in me, or to, you know, to stay hard, or even, you know, I didn't even have the what I'm, you know, sometimes I didn't even feel like I wasn't working with any kind of potential that would lead me to be able to learn how to not come so fast, you know, when I was in my early 20s. And I'd tell that story and I'd be like, and that was, I really enjoyed Taoism, because it's like one of those starting points and barometers is that. And so I go, it really taught me that I need to set a new standard for myself. So in terms of like, yes, I think I would, you know, for guys that are just like, just shut up and tell me what herbs to take, I would be looking to, if it's really bottomed out, you know, that's what I'd say to them. I'd really, you know, if you really bottomed out, I brought in the deer antler velvet to help reignite those fires. Now, it's a herb you would take long term, but you know, it is a herb that I brought in when someone has been like on an excessive corporate schedule or extreme, you know, a lot of the time it was, you know, because the scene was on extreme vegan diets, or I was in the raw food scene, raw food diets, and sometimes it was the only thing that could kickstart people, or, you know, guys who were coming in like 55 and 60 who were in that position, I'd be like, cool, I'm going to put you on like a schedule of like start slow and some deer antler, just a quarter teaspoon. But if you can get that up to a teaspoon a day and start like just starting those fires again down the bottom within the kidneys, mm-hmm. then you can start setting a new goal or standard for yourself. And, you know, starting with that complaint point of like, yeah, I'm never horny, or my, you know, I'm horny, but I don't have any desire to actually connect. I don't have the energy to actually, you know, be vulnerable. I just don't have she fucking wants to connect and, you know, do this shit. Mm-hmm. I just don't have it. I'm like, I get it. And it's frustrating because I know you want it. It's just, you know, it's just not there. And it's a really, you know, it's a really beautiful thing to like honor and respect that maybe starts as a complaint, and it's really, there's an invisible yearning, but that's an intention. And now let's cultivate that intention with herbalism. And these herbs are going to be really great for you in the long term. And as well as, you know, as you go along, you know, you'll, of course, you can get into a little bit of that, you know, you can maybe start picking up a kettlebell. You'll start respecting that as much as you want that yang rising, perhaps it's time to cultivate a yin descending practice and ritual at the end of the day for you. Because, brother, I feel you, you know, like my mind fucking goes always. And I'm on at the moment. So I'm not creating an idealistic, I've made it. Nah, 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 you have to be like me. Like I'm still, you know, there. I've got a newborn as well. And my newborn gets up and sometimes it slips through past the goalie and I'm like, I'm thinking about aspects of team culture and HR. And I'm like, it's three in the morning, dude. But
yeah,
where's the boundary? You getting, you know, actually, as you know, as a man, or let's say as a body that's dominated and driven by chi, as opposed to a body that's driven and regulated by blood, which is a way in Taoism to relate to the general two body types, beautifully, by the way, in a beautiful collaboration. And of course, there's yang and the yin, and yin and the yang. That yang qi driven body needs to be cultivated, but maybe, you know, it needs to be, you know, going forward and creating and activating, say, a landscape for you to go and do that descending and yin, so you can actually start sleeping well, bro, so that you can honor and respect this health intention you have. Because if you really get down to it, you know, maybe it's like, I think it's like connection. I think it's like satisfying her and being hard and, you know, maybe it's like, you know, retaining steam. It's like, great, great. Use those shiny things. As you go along, you will engage with your Jing and that unique expression of Jing. And as your Shen develops, you'll have those integrated, beautiful, wise ways of looking at your libido and your luster and all that vigor and all that, and you'll relate to it in a very personal way, and it'll make you very grounded and have that agency and unique. And it's a long, long, long journey. And if you could look at where you've got to get to when you're 80 and 90, like what's actually, you know, what's actually of high quality to you? And you get to 90 and you're like, well, you know, at least I, you know, can only came once every 2 months. That's great. You know, is that really the valuable thing? It's like, well, what is it? You know, what's the thing that lights you up? And then you can work back from there. But it's so funny because we're like, is that's, you know, like did the libido come in later? It was like, it almost came in dead on with immunity and mushrooms. It was like really good. Yeah, really nice reflection for me, because I think even my staff say and think that sometimes. I mean, like, you know, it all started with mushrooms. And I'm like, well, the mushrooms are an easy entry point a lot of the time.
It's true.
Jing herbs are as well, but if you can't just say they're for libido. Like the same, you can't just say mushrooms are for immunity. They're for full body harmonization and integration.
Yeah, but we like to put things in boxes.
And it's good to put things in boxes as well. And boxes are nice as well. And then sometimes they need to come out.
That's true. I like the thought experiment of being 90 and thinking like, oh, at least I only ejaculated once every couple of months.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to having a good life than just not ejaculating all the time.
I think about it for like all diet. For me, the only way I can deal being in the wellness scene is by like being a wannabe comedian and just taking the piss out of all dietary ideology, which at the same time, hopefully holding the banner towards like, does this trigger you? Great. I really want you to engage with that triggering, because it's probably showing you that it's maybe time to move on. Because, you know, if it's like you're 90 and you're like, at least I fought every online battle when someone took the piss out of veganism. I showed them. It's like, I didn't listen to my body and eat any vegetables and stuck to my full carnivore diet. Oh, yay. What a fucking triumph. Like, it's so ridiculous. Of course not.
Yeah.
Like, just give it up now. Like, get more interesting. You're so boring. Go and listen to the Billy Connolly memoirs. It's called windswept and interesting, and then realize what's your windswept and interesting nature, because there are so many people, they know they're boring as well. And I don't think, I'm not talking about what I think is boring in people. I remember in my extreme raw foodism, wasn't quite veganism that I really revolved around, but my beliefs around animal protein and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff was really, you know, it was very tight. Mm-hmm. And I'd have these conversations with myself in the shower, you know, where I'd be like, you know, I'd debate myself, and because I'd know the talking points, I'd be able to debate for trumping my belief systems that I inherently had, and I'd back and forth. And at one point I was like, I like the other guy more than I like myself. I like the guy. I'm kind of siding with him. And I was just like, oh man, boring might not be the word for someone. Stagnant. That's a way of relating to it. It actually gave me, you know, I know what happens when you are, you know, using whatever, you know, like, you know, thing that you haven't used, you know, integrated from your childhood, and you just want to have some kind of control in your life. And so you're, you know, saying, you know, using that, you know, like, right, well, I'm going to have control on how I see the world through diet or spirituality or the politics or whatever. That ideology is so dangerous for that 90-year-old. It is so dangerous for how nuanced and colorful and just how beautifully crafted your personality has been, so that you can have that water off a duck's back, slippery, you know, skipping around, being able to chuckle at everything and not getting triggered because you're just a fucking weapon. You're not getting triggered, but then engage with an elder about something, you know, and take them into a landscape of conversation, and bang, they're like, their convictions. They're there. They're not reacting. They're not working off a script. They're like, yeah, okay, good, that point, but I've thought about that a lot. And it's fucking awesome talking to those people. And that's like, that's where, and it's risky. That ideology is risky. And so, guys, challenge that, because you want to go, you know, you want to go out there and, you know, go full warrior. Well, you know, you start there, because that's harrowing, challenging yourself on that level.
Yeah. Start with connection. Yeah.
And then take Deer Antler and Ashwagandha and Jing, probably the Jing blend, because there's, you know, I'm assuming there's all manner of person listening to this, and it's not just for men by any means. The Jing blend is a really beautiful place to start. That's an old plants and mushroom formula, whereas the Deer Antler is obviously, you know, the deer aren't killed. I'm just going to put it out there. Maybe we'll send you the video of me at the deer farm explaining deer antler velvet, because that's an interesting one for people.
Yeah, I read an article about that on your website, actually. That's super cool. And I take the Jing mixture, whatever you call it, every day, actually, in the morning. Yeah. I love it.
It's a beautiful formula. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man. And I think one thing that we haven't spoken to yet, that just to clarify here, is that in terms of what you're talking about, you're Taoist tonic herbalism, right? Which is different and not in opposition to Western medicine, right? But Taoist tonic herbalism is, you're using these herbs, taking them for an extended period of time on a daily basis. And that's how they have an impact on your life, right? It's like you use these things regularly over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Like I remember reading an article on your website where you cited some studies about ashwagandha that showed actual results, legit results from these studies for people taking it for 8 to 12 weeks. But the results didn't start to kick in until about those 8 to 12 weeks, you know, which is an interesting, like, it's just interesting. It's not like you take a little bit of it and all of a sudden your problems are solved. It almost seems like this is an ally of sorts.
That's the word. It's an ally. And it's like, the science stuff is like, I won't do the cliche, like, you know, modern science is telling us what the ancient, you know, civilizations knew all along. It's true, but it is also a boring rote thing that influences what I'd like to say. Just like when they're like, did you know the skin is the largest organ? No, it's not. The fascia is now officially, but whatever, you know, just like, anyway, that's like, I like, you know, it's like the manuscript that they hold over. Did you know the gut is the seat, you know, is the foundations of your immune system? Like, yes, everyone knows that. All right, whatever. Anyway.
plant allies.
So Taoist tonic herbalism, there's a number of ways to relate to it. I'm going to give you just the kind of the very, you know, because it's a very elaborate where this emerged from. Yeah. We're looking at a system of, for thousands of years, staying connected to the lineage and having gratitude going back to that lineage of people looking at herbs that they could take in order to prevent and stay in harmony. And then we probably see the first materia medica arising ever just about 2,000 years ago, the divine farmers materia medica, where we see the first kind of system of like civilizations emerging. People aren't just in absolute flow with the Tao, able to live on a mountain. They're engaged with specialization, accountancy, blacksmithing, whatever it is. And so we need a textbook to define which herbs are the superior herbs, the regular herbs, and the inferior herbs. Inferior being, these are the ones we want to be working with specialist herbalists, because these are the ones where you waited until you got really sick to treat, or something's happened where you need acute symptomology. And so that's something toxic's going on. So we're going to use a toxic plant. You can't use that in your everyday life. The regular herbs are looking to, again, we're forcing regulation on the system in a particular direction, but with less intensity, a little bit less skill needed. The superior herbs, now these are seen as the messengers from heaven. These are the herbs that are there as allies. If we want to get woo-woo, if we want to go pre-1950s Chinese medicine, before the spirit was cut out, ripped out, and Chinese medicine became westernized, commodified, and belittled into stuffed into the boxes that of anatomy and ripped away from its foundations of yin yang, wuxing. And now we're going to start making it so systemized that you can just create cookie cutter practitioners out of universities who don't actually have their own it's like a therapist who doesn't have a therapist. They don't, you know, like that's what it's like.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
So if we go back to where the magic was present, and the magic is that we're not always looking in that, you know, that left hemisphere of the brain where everything can be explained and put into its boxes, because look where we've ended up with that in beautiful specialization. And now we're trying to come back into a place of harmony where there's a decentralization. And I also like centralization in certain areas. And I want decentralization in others, and a realization that one's health isn't owned by an institution, but you have the capacity to cultivate such a majestic relationship with what is health within your body and your family culture and your wider culture. And we can take pride in ensuring that we, you know, from a Taoist perspective, we develop ourselves healthily so that we can be the bridge between heaven and earth. And that's what the Taoists saw. And the facilitators for that bridging and learning how to develop such strong Jing Qi Shen that we maintained a strong bridge and bringing harmony between what we vision is possible for our universe and humanity, and what's real in where we're standing. That's, you know, they saw the herbs as those as pure allies, and you can feel it when you work with them on the level that we work with them. You can feel them charging through, and they are my muse. And I can feel if I ever, you know, when I hypothesize going in a particular direction, the business, especially early on, I know my boundaries now. You could feel the muse and the connection to their genuine spirit, or the entity that goes beyond, you know, them just being grown in a crop in a particular way. Yeah. You can feel it leave. The connection goes. And so they are absolute ultimate allies and the superior. So
what are some examples? What are some examples of these?
Ginseng, Shizandra berry, cordyceps, mushroom, poria, mushroom, deer antler velvet, pearl powder. These are they're astragalus. They're the gynostemmas. They're the husha woos. They're the reishi mushrooms. These are the special herbs. These are when I started, and you know, I've gone through, like I've specialized here in a decentralized, these are the herbs, the people that don't get, they don't get owned by clinicians. These are not owned by the institution. This wisdom is out there for everybody. But I've also stuck the path of ensuring that our IQ about how to interact with them is there and getting increased as well, rather than just going like, these are the herbs that you can just take in your diet and have as much as you want. And that's, you go, I'm just going to sell it and fuck off. It's like, no, there's a duty of care to ensure, yes, but they're still medicinally active. They are just the tonic herbs because, like, there's not that much damage. And this is, if you talk to an actual classical acupuncturist that understands the classics and actually can journey through your yin-yang transformation cycles rather than just diagnosing you based on their rote learning, if you talk to someone like that, they will acknowledge, yes, that is a tonic herb because as general as possible, these are the herbs that we can engage with and they're not going to do much damage. If you are extremely symptomatic and you know that you are in a real delicate place with a lot of infection in your body, this is not an appropriate place for you to be right now. And that's why I have a lot of practitioners on. I have a lot of Taoist practitioners, acupuncturists, naturopaths. That is learning what's an appropriate time to say, say in lifestyle, is it appropriate for me to treat this right now with sleep and a little bit of exercise and getting sun and diet? If you are riddled with Lyme disease and co-infections and you are going down, no, you want a little bit more intensity and you are outside of your capacity. You don't have the capacity, nor do we want you to try and have the capacity to deal with that on your own. That is not the time for tonic herbalism. Tonic herbalism may be utilized by that practitioner to go, I'm going to be treating extreme symptomology, and I'm also going to use, say, a mushroom blend just in the background because I want to make sure I'm building your strength and I'm tonifying your system. But I also don't want to do it too far because we're in a very precarious place right now. Or I'm going to take you through some extreme treatment and it's going to be fucking gnarly, okay? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, that's an extreme example of that is chemotherapy. Boom, boom! We're going to take you through something extreme. The fact that they're not utilizing, it's called Fujung therapy, where they actually utilize mushrooms at the same time in conjunction with a treatment like that, or at least in the aftermath and being like, it's like when you come home to mum to heal, that's been lost in Western herbalism. You know, you don't have to do anything. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to let someone go through that extreme of a healing and then not go, as I'm an institutionalized, centralized medicine, probably the most extreme we've ever had, that I'm not saying is bad, so egoic that it refuses to acknowledge other dimensions of the healing journey and the duty of care and necessity that they have to pay respect to it and integrate it. Not just that, teach people and advocate for people to go out of that centralization into the decentralization where they can cultivate responsibility for themselves. And maybe they have to do that through maybe a little bit of an institution that is like, we understand that you need to build up. That's what we're trying to do. Develop an organic nature-based institution where there's community in like knowledge that if you come out of a treatment like that, perhaps we now want to get you on the ashwagandhas. And on the, you know, on maybe mushroom capsules is all you can do. Let's start you low and then let's get you high, building your strength back. Bring these allies in. Let's make sure that the treatment isn't going to kill you. And that's what we call extremely non-integrated, multidimensional aspects of medicine. That's where tonic herbalism sits. And it works with that specialization. But what happened in the 50s is Mao Zedong came and said, we're going to cut the Taoist, we're going to cut the spirit out. We're going to cut the actual developmental aspect out and the part that delivers a connection to leaving the practitioner. And then there's a direct thread back to your family culture and a sense of personal responsibility where you can ensure that you don't end up back there. No, it's just now, you know, cut out, boom, there you go. Diagnose, textbook, boom, out you go. Chuck the needles in these points. And they can't tell the story. They can't tell the story. It is a shame, and that's why it's really beautiful to see people who go through and learn in these awesome Western institutions teaching Chinese medicine. I mean, amazing. Then they need to go and actually start learning the classics and then develop their own practice that is going to get them experiencing and cultivating the flow of five elements in their body so that they can advocate for the only person that can advocate for the flow of that five elements and the cultivation of Jing in that person long term, which is the individual. So that's what these herbs are all about. And that's what I like sending people off on that journey. And it starts with getting Jing, getting on some Jing herbs and feeling, fuck, that's me. Like that, like my, this is, it's not the herb giving it to me. The first time when people experience it, like 60 days I've been having the Jing, you know, you'd relate to this. If you, you know, if you don't have the Jing, you're like, oh, it's okay. It's like, I don't need it. Maybe in the beginning for some people, they will notice I'm in a place where I'm really deficient and I need to continue working here. But then it gets to a point where you'll feel, oh shit, I kind of feel like I don't need it anymore. And for a lot of people, they're like, oh, they just can't comprehend that. They're like, well, I'm scared. What if I get off the Jing and everything goes crashing back? And it's like, well, first of all, you can just get back on it if that's the case. But second of all, trust that feeling where you want to move on to something else, maybe another blend. Maybe you just want to go off for a week and be like, oh my God, I feel fantastic. I am slightly more like feeling slightly more luscious. I'm slightly like I'm getting out of bed in the morning and acknowledge that transformation and go, amazing. There is a flow of energy going on within you that you can, with your lifestyle, ensure that that's the benchline for you now. You now have perceived that. And if you go too far away from it next time, you'll be like, ah, I left a trail of breadcrumbs, right? You know, and I know how to get back there. That's sovereignty. So that's like, yeah, this is the essence. This is what I've been doing for 11 years with Superfeast, and then, you know, the 2 years before that. Such beautiful work. It's so nice. It's just like, you know, well, what's the right and the wrong? It's just like, you know, it's like, well, we can't say that, you know, we can't, but there's clear paths. You know, there's actual systems there that they don't have to be adhered to perfectly. And, you know, Jing is so described, but, you know, and it's so universal, but it's so unique in how we can relate to it. There's no choice but to cultivate agency and your own version of being windswept and interesting. It's like, it's why I love it. I don't think there's anything, well, there's like obviously nothing like it. I'm not saying it's better than anything, but for me, in my intentions, that's just where I can't get away from this being such a beautiful offering for the world right now.
Yeah. Cheers to that. Cheers to that. And yeah, when I take the Jing blend in the morning, I do approach it as this, not like, oh, it's going to fix me or it's going to make anything better or something. It's kind of this morning ritual I have. I put it in a little bit of tea and just, it really does feel like an ally. I'm like, cool. I'm starting my day with an ally, with a friend, with like this, just nature, you know, it's like this connective ritual almost. And I go for a walk outside and just practice feeling, and it helps me. The flavor helps me. The knowledge that I'm imbibing these different things helps me. And it's just nice. I don't feel like an acute impact from taking a substance. It's different. You know, it's subtle. But I thoroughly enjoy it. And I think we're going to set up a discount code on your store for US citizens if you use Eros Rising in your store, I think that we'll go with that discount code, and I'll put it in the show notes too. But yeah, Mason has a Superfeast store set up for the United States people now, and it's great.
Yeah. And that code will use at the Australian, you can use on the Australian side or the US side. It's just superfeast.com. Awesome. Superfeast.com in America.
Superfeast.com.
Yeah. What you just said then ties in, you know, I like talking to you, because it's like, if you're in a particular state of self-cultivation, which is, I guess, you know, another way of talking about the work that you do, self-cultivation. It puts you in, you've already put yourself in the stream to be able to feel the invisible reality of why I make particular, you know, silly business decisions that end up actually being awesome once, but, you know, in like long term. People like, why would you go to so much energy, invisible energy, to source your herbs in a particular way? Like, it's like, and, you know, like a lot of people here, it's obvious, but, you know, once I get into business circles, when I start talking to people about what goes into getting a DDAO herb, you know, getting the herb from its spiritual homeland in alignment with the original classical texts of where they say, you know, the microclimate that is the greatest place to get that herb. Certain little rules that, you know, emerging and, you know, in the modern world, we need as scales, we need to go like, what are our non-negotiables? Well, you know, the seed or spore or rhizome needs to be wild. It can't be hybridized. It can't be commercialized. And it needs to come from the microclimate in which we're growing the herb or harvesting the herb. And then for us, it's like, I won't work with a giant group that owns the farmers and standardizes the way they do things. Individual farmer, sovereign led, prioritizing the quality of the mushroom or the herb and its, or, and what is quality? The quality is it's had access to the atmospheric, you know, elements, the earthly elements, so that there is the actual Jing Qi Shen within the herb and it can come and help us cultivate Jing Qi and Shen within us. That is so, when I talk to people about that, they're like, Jesus Christ, you know, it's like you could just, you know, like you, there's no way to communicate any of that. But if I don't do that, then what you experience in terms of it actually being a ritual where you go, I feel this isn't falling into the category of I'm taking this to do something right or to be healthy or to treat a symptom. It activates that relationship. And you came back to relationships and connection before. And it's something that people are like, yeah, I guess that's kind of cool when people get that. No, that's my fucking metric. Like, that's my KPI. And it's hard to measure. And there's other things to measure, but you got it. Yeah. There's a reverence. You can feel you can feel connection to millions of people that gave up their fucking lives to sit on mountains and learn this shit.
Yeah. I want to just speak to that because I think that's a really important piece. The piece around listening deeper, feeling deeper, feeling more deeply to what's going on. That's huge. And it's been at the source of a lot of what I do too and how I've operated in my business. Mm. And yes, sometimes like everybody, I can get into the heady space of go, 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 figure this out. But some of the biggest and best decisions that I've ever made have come from that place of almost ritual and actually being still and listening. And a lot of times actually experiences with plant allies, plant medicines of different sorts. And I think it's just so much more important than people realize. Cultivating a deeper relationship with life, it pays more dividends than you could possibly quantify with like typical left brain thought. It's just different. It's just a different thing entirely. And it's so deeply nourishing and empowering and life-giving. Mm. Yeah.
It's that whole, like, when you're 90, reflecting, when you haven't, I can hypothesize at least, or like you can, that if you have gone down, you know, I did it my way. If you've gone down that route and you then reflect on, like I have it with the herbs sometimes. I'm not saying you're to be thinking about reishi mushroom and shaga on your deathbed, but at some point when you're 90, maybe you are, and you reflect on, my gosh, that relationship has given me, that changed my life. You know, like so many things are going to change our lives, but significantly alchemizing and helping you go through, say, an initiation so that you can earn your right to go to the next echelon of being yourself. There's a few herbs, you know, maybe you'll just be like, oh, I like the idea of Shizandra and I like, you know, Mason said Astragalus was really cool. I'm going to take that because it's really good at this point. Or, you know, the beauty blend, you know, the goji, Shizandra, Longan, that's Mason said that's really good in springtime. And so like, I'm going to do that to cultivate that inner beauty. There's a lot of that. I do a lot of that. But along the journey, every now and then you might go like, oh yeah, that shaga mushroom. It was, He said something about, you know, it being like a, you know, being a big, you know, bear fur wearing Siberian shaman kind of vibe, you know, like, and it's something ignite. You're like, oh, I like the look of it. You know, it's that big, you know, black mass, and you might go, oh, I'm going to try it. And something happens, and maybe you've prevented something from happening. Maybe you've ignited something genetically. Maybe you've ignited a flow of chi that was there waiting to, and you'll reflect, and you won't be able to put your finger on it. And sometimes maybe in a vision, it'll come to you. And that could still for you be speculative or very real. Doesn't matter. That's something special. You will, when you're 90, you will look back and you'll go, wow, what an ally. What a beautiful friend, herbal friend to connect with. And that can only come when you're not using your friend to get an outcome, but you are developing a relationship with yourself and your friend. So it's
true.
Yeah.
When you're saying all that, I'm resonating with, and there's one particular mushroom that's coming up for me that I'm realizing now hearing you speak that I have this relationship with that I've cultivated over years. Actually, in Asheville where I live, we have a lot of hemlocks that are down by rivers because of the woolly adelgid invasive species. One of the results of that, though, is we have a lot of reishi mushroom growing here. We have a lot of reishi mushroom, and some of my friends and I, we've spent a lot of time out by those rivers, and we'll just sit there and, you know, swim, of course, but then harvest some of the reishi mushroom and make tea with it and sit in the forest and drink this tea, this reishi tea, and then back home do that. And it really has, for lack, I don't know how to really to put words with it. I feel like I do have a relationship with this entity more than just a mushroom. It's like a state of being. It's a presence that whenever I have this tea, it drops me into that certain place, and it's beautiful. And I'm just feeling the appreciation for that right now in a new way that I haven't like been able to articulate or something. It's really magical. I remember sitting with a buddy of mine and drinking that and just talking for a couple of hours one time. And we both felt this like light fluttering, not like a drug sensation, but there was a lightness, almost like an internal tickle that came from it. And it was, it's just fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. I love that mushroom. And you'll probably see it on my Instagram at some point this year again. When it becomes time.
Can't wait. No, I love it. Special mushroom there.
Yeah. So, man, awesome conversation. It went in a couple of really cool, unexpected directions. I like the piece about how to be interesting too. That's good stuff. And the sitting on the deathbed at 90. Thank you so much for this conversation. And Mason, where can people find you, or where can people find these herbs?
Super Feast on Instagram, we're quite active. The website is so rich with information, and that's both superfeast.com and .au for Australia. We also have the Super Feast podcast, which has, you know, I think it's a great place for people to start is going to your show notes and seeing the conversations we've had. And there's, we've got free courses, you know, with introductions to tonic herbalism on the website that may really break it down. Lots of PDFs, you know, breaking down the basics of medicinal mushrooms too. And, I think everyone should go use Eros Rising, and get that discount to get you going. I think it will start with a 10% discount, you know, just start the journey. There's a great quote. I think it was Michael Tierra. He's an American herbalist, and everyone's like, my gosh, there's so many herbs to pick from, you know, like which one, where should I start? And he's like, any of them. Mm-hmm. It's like, and tonic herbalism is a time when it's like, that's an appropriate thing to say. Any of them. This is a safe place. Start slow. You can start with an eighth of a teaspoon. You can start just putting it on your tongue and tasting it. We don't put shit in our herbs. We don't put starches. It's pure herbal extract. We're TGA listed in Australia. It's not like we can't just sell supplements like in America. They have to run through our regulatory agency, which is the strictest. So in terms of testing for metals and pesticides and all those things, it's the most scrutinized. And so we are certified in all of those things. So, you know, you're getting not only a badass D-Dow connected to the source and the land of the dragon and the lineage herb, but it's a herb that's so clean It is the herb that you're buying. You know, we test the genome and all that kind of stuff. So it's a, yeah, Superfees is a safe space for you to start that tonic herbal journey. And we're really good at customer service as well. And my sister, Ariel, just started working from Mexico for the US company. So if you send us an email at superfees.com, or, you know, you'll get an email from her or a call from her, and say hello to Ariel and tell her she's doing a great job.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Thank you so much. I'll put a lot of really good resources in the show notes, including some articles that I've read before this interview too, to help me prepare, that were awesome. And yeah, thank you all for listening. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day. Cheers to your success and your pleasure and your herbs and the magic of life and being alive. Peace.
Peace, everyone.
Thank you, friend, for listening to this episode. I have one request before you go. If you got something useful, if you got something valuable from this episode, please take a moment right now to go to Apple or Spotify and leave a review of this podcast. That'll be really, really helpful. And it'll do two things. Number one, it'll let me know that you actually like this podcast. Number two, it'll help more people find this podcast. And I think that's really important, because I believe we all need to be talking about sex more. So the more I share, the more you share, the more we all talk about this, the better everyone's lives will become all around the world. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this wherever you share it. Thank you for your review. And if there was anything about this episode that really hit you, that really struck you or impacted you, please shoot me a message too on Instagram or with an email and let me know. I'd love to hear how this has impacted your life. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. Cheers to your success. Cheers to your pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.